This is your host, Benedict Herschel.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle of Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Demon Hunter!
That would be me.
That is you. Welcome back, world.
You like that?
To the whole world, everyone out there, we just want to say thank you.
Thank you,
all
guys.
7 billion of you for listening to our show.
700 million?
Is that what you gave?
7 billion.
7 billion.
Because they're all listening right now.
And in the future, they're listening, so I added a few.
Yay! Demon Hunter, special thanks to all our fans, all our listeners at Stitcher Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, and one of our newer homes, 102.7 FM, The Hog.
The Hog.
The Hog. Huh? You guys might know we didn't play music tonight because we're on a strict... Oh, wait, The Hog. There you go. I got it queued up. We're on a strict time schedule, so no more music at the beginning of the show.
And it will run perfectly now, Sean, all the time.
Well, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What have you guys been doing out there? We haven't been doing much here. Sorry about last week. Things come up sometimes here in studio, and we don't get to go live. But we do play archives. We actually have 8 years of them at our website at ghostanddemon.com. And Demon Hunter, I wanted to take a minute to tell our listeners and fans, if there's any out there, that you should go to our Facebook page. Look us up. Ghostman and Demon Hunter on Facebook. Make sure to like us, guys. Don't take much. Just click like. Let us know you like us. And let our networks know that you like us, more importantly. How about that?
They like us. They really like us.
They do like us. We're your midnight madmen on some networks.
In the middle of the day.
Yeah. Well, on some networks, we do the midnight madman thing. On The Hog, we're played at midnight, I think.
On The Hog.
Yeah. All over the world, we have different times that we do things. Hey, did you hear about this topic with Seth Rogen, the actor Seth Rogen, Demon Hunter? You heard about it, right?
I've just gotten the info now, shuffled across the desk to me, Sean.
There you go. Shuffle, ruffle. Well, they tried to, there for like a week, they tried to say that Seth Rogen was going to be killed, that Kim Jong-un wants to kill Seth Rogen. But that's not the case. As you know, that's not the case now. I read the article before the show come on, and, you know, what are you going to do? I'm not going to talk about it. No, North Korea, of course.
North Korea.
He's going to kill
us. They're going to blow him up.
Yeah, it's from North Korea, you know. The friendship between the U.S. and North Korea is stable. So let's make some movies about it. You know, like Russia.
Yes, because that's what we want to do. We know.
Yeah.
That our friends across the Pacific have such good sense of humor.
Well, yeah. Well, that's like doing a new Red Dawn now that we're, you know, Russia and us have had words.
Well, they did a new Red Dawn. Notice we weren't being attacked by communists.
Bunch of teenagers grab some machine guns and take on the whole, you know, Russian army. Mother Russia. I don't know. Anyway, North Korea, of course, Kim Jong-un was kind of ticked off. I would be too, I guess. Seth Rogen and James Franco is coming out with another movie. I guess it's called The Interview. It's what it's going to be called if it comes out. And it talks about James and Seth. They play reporters who get an interview with the dictator of North Korea. And the CIA asked them to kill him. I can see why he's upset a little bit.
You think?
Yeah. But they didn't really come out and say, like, first of the week they said Kim Jong-un put a price on their heads that he was going to kill these actors. But, you know.
Oh, maybe that's just
propaganda.
Propaganda to sell tickets.
I don't know. Well, the thing about it is, though, and we've had this before. Who was it? Some insane terrorist type? I don't know. I don't know what type it was, but he was insane because of what he did. And there was this guy that got mad at one of our cartoonist or something. I forget what it was.
That was actually a few years back. There was the whole issue that I think it was the New York Times or the Post, one of them, was going to, you know, I don't know which one, so I can't be quoted on it, so don't sue me. But they posted a cartoon with Muhammad in it.
Yeah.
And according to Islam beliefs, you cannot create an image of Muhammad. Even they don't have images of him.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the Christian belief that makes their own version of Jesus and puts him on all their stained glass windows in Islam, you can't have an image of Muhammad. So, because then he's a graven image.
Right.
So.
I don't know. To our Muslims out there, we're not calling you crazy because everybody has their own religion.
Just that it was not just one guy who got mad. It was a lot of Muslims.
Right, a lot of Muslims. And I do understand that, but you know what? Get over it. It's film. There's nothing we can do about that. And that's why America is the greatest place in the world, because it's free. And anybody can do anything and say anything they want without being killed. And
well, to an extent, I mean, they let us stay on the air all these years.
Right. Well, that's coming to an end, I'm sure. But I remember that. So that's not the first time we heard about movies infuriating other countries. You'd think that it must be like a slow trouble time.
I just remember several years back, there was a movie called The Pope Must Diet.
Oh.
The original name of the movie was The Pope Must Die.
And they said diet.
So many people got mad about it that they changed the name to The Pope Must Diet. But they just drew the extra little letters at the end to make it a diet.
Bring out your dead.
But it was all about the Vatican's connection to the Italian mafia. Ooh. And, you know, the plots to kill off the Pope and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be true.
Course, a lot of people were upset about it, I thought it was funny.
Well, it's got to be true, Demon Hunter, because it was in Godfather 3 that there was a mafioso connection with the Pope.
Well, this was the actual Italian mafia, the Italian mafia in Italy.
Oh.
So, because, you know, there's a difference.
Well, Don Corleone was originated from Italy.
Yeah, but...
I mean, you know, let's not discriminate against the mafioso here. Potato, potato.
Hey,
right?
let's, you know, this is how we're going to wind up getting shot. Not by leaders of countries or religious, but we're going to just piss off the mob.
That's how we'll make front page news. Yes. We'll get shot. Well.
Nighttime radio hosts get killed by mob after making Vatican joke.
We don't know who they were. But
I'm here for the gangbang.
Yes, they got shot. Oh, well, anyway, Kim Jong-un, guys. No. Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un. Yeah, he's offended. He's upset.
Can you blame him?
Well, that's the same cat that Dennis Rodman, clearly the best cat for our ambassador of peace here in the United States, was chosen to go over there and talk basketball with the guy. And remember, he came back and said, "Hey, everybody be cool, man." So... whatever.
And that solved everything.
Yeah, well, you know, be cool, you know. Make love, not war. Anyway, he should have made more free throws when he played the... Ah!
Have you seen these Asian tiger mosquitoes?
Asian tiger... Now, are those the one with the tiger stripes?
You're right.
Okay.
Right. They're more zebra striped. They're black and white. They kind of look like a zebra, but they're having a whole issue. And California's dealing with them, and we're starting to have an issue here on the East Coast.
Why don't they just call them zebras?
Because unlike your traditional mosquito that comes out at night, these things bite all day long.
Ooh, there's one in the studio, actually. I don't know if it's zebra.
Buzzing around your head right now.
Yeah.
You hear Sean clapping. It's not at something I say. He's trying to kill a mosquito. But they're having issues with it, and of course, you know, Santa Clara County is not having anything to do with this. They want to nip this in the bud, but fast. And for some reason, my recorder just stopped, Sean. My player that was saying how long our show was supposed to be recording.
Well, that's bad. We don't know how long it's supposed to record.
That's so now. We're going to have to go by the clock here on the wall.
Let's go by the clock. We're at...
So we can schedule our breaks, folks. So yeah, we can schedule our breaks.
Well, we're almost at 10 after, so we're good. Yeah. Another 8 minutes. Actually, about another 9.
We're good.
Anyway, you were talking about the mosquitoes.
Yes, the mosquitoes. Santa Clara won't have anything to do with this. They're putting out an all-points bulletin. If you see a black and white mosquito or get bitten during the day, they want you to call an emergency number right away. so they can get someone out there to spray and exterminate the area.
So if you get bit, you're supposed to look at what kind of... How are you going to look at that? You smash them and grind them in.
Well, yes, but like I said, these mosquitoes bite during the day.
Yeah.
Not at night. So they're saying if you get bitten during the day or you see a black and white mosquito, they want you to call and so that they can, I guess, spray the area immediately.
Well, good and freaking luck with that.
They're going around checking people for having buckets of water, saucers around flowers that have water in them, rain gutters that are gunked up so they're storing water, old tires, anything that can store water where mosquitoes can breed.
Right, right. But good luck with that, because I called the Mayor's Action Center like 14 times last year to get them to spray our area, and nothing.
Well, the thing is, I got bit the other day in the middle of the day on the back of my wrist. And it swelled up like a mofo, Sean.
Like a mofo? You can't say
like
that.
Like mofo. That's about the strongest thing we can say on the radio now
mofo.
That we've broadcast on the air, right?
Right, yeah.
But,
you got stung by a mosquito.
It's bad, Sean. It's bad. It's bad.
No, no. For our listeners out there, be on the lookout for the... Hey, what was you talking about with... Were we going to talk about that now with the...
Morgan Freeman was talking about the possibility of a zombie apocalypse being closer than we think.
Hey, Nathan, this is what we hear out in the backyard now. Summer barbecue. Hey, everybody. How you doing? What's going on? Do you want your burger medium rare? Or, mosquito bite. Right.
I don't like that music, Sean. You know my feeling towards sharks.
I do. You hate sharks.
I despise sharks. They're evil creatures born of the devil.
Yeah, you were bit by
not
one.
Not belong anywhere around us.
Didn't you get a shark attack one time? More like a goldfish.
It was less of an attack and more my own stupidity going spearfishing and...
Was it an alien hybrid shark out there?
It was. It was. It had big black eyes, just like they show the aliens have. Gray skin, just like they show the aliens have. Yeah. I was attacked by an alien, Sean.
Alien shark. Now, where were you when you got when that was very life-threatening, life-scarring?
I was off the coast of Nantucket.
Nantucket. Isn't that where they filmed Jaws?
Not too far from there. Yeah, they filmed down in Martha's Vineyard.
Martha's Vineyard. Martha's got a nice vineyard, I heard. Is that still for the rich people that go out there?
Yeah, I'd say it's for the rich people.
It's something we'll never we'll never experience.
You and I will not own a house on Nantucket or Martha's Vineyard anytime soon.
Who knows? The radio show could take off and we could head on down to Martha's move on down to Martha's Vineyard. With Jed.
Get ourselves one of them cement ponds.
Cement pond for the donkeys and whatnot. You know, that's another thing. On the Beverly Hillbillies, okay? I know they had a bunch of money and all that, but how did... And Ellie Mae Clampett was amazing. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Ellie Mae, and she had that hillbilly-ish look to her. Just something about that and hillbilly. Because some of our listeners out there, you're in, you know, rural USA. Would that be rural or would that be the woods? You're in the back stick.
I'm in the mansion in the woods, remember?
You're in the mansion in the woods, but I'm actually I'm right out on the outside of the city, but I was raised, I was raised in the city, but we moved out in the country for a while. And the girls are prettier out there. It's just something,
Well, we raise them right.
They're wild. Feral, if you will. Anyway, the girls are pretty. Ellie Mae Clampett, I digress. But
what was your question about the Clampets?
How did Ellie Mae Clampett get all those pets there? I mean, you never seen any delivery trucks. There was never an episode that, she had monkeys, she had seals, she had sharks, she had you name it. I mean,
she rescued them.
And where did they get their license to have that? Was there no license?
They didn't need a license back then. If you
no, they did.
If you wanted a tiger, during the early 90s, I was working for a pet store, and they were just starting to really crack down on permits for exotic animals.
Right, right.
But you could still go to exotic animal shows at the time, the way they have gun shows now or art shows or whatever, and you could just walk in, and the guy would write out a permit for you right there and then, and you'd take home a tiger,
Right.
Well, I mean, you can't. No.
Candy bars.
You cannot take home a tiger. I don't care what era you were in. There's no way. Well, I mean, I guess I did see. There used to be a guy out in the country that had one in a cage. What are you going to do with the tiger? What are you, Tony Montana? And Scarface? For you, for those of you out there in the Shadow Nation that haven't seen Scarface, he was a drug guy, big kingpin, and he had a tiger.
Well, didn't you see The Hangover? Didn't...
That's Mike Tyson. I wonder if Mike Tyson really has a tiger.
I don't know.
You think we can get Michael on the show?
Michael Jackson had a monkey.
He did have a... What was the...
Googly moogly.
What was the monkey's name? Do you remember the name of the monkey?
I don't remember the name of the monkey.
I wonder what that was. I mean, it was on the cover of his album, wasn't it? No, that was the white tiger he had. Remember that? Remember he had
So he had a tiger.
Yeah. Did he have to get rid of the monkey when he adopted those kids? Because you never seen it anymore after...
Well,
Bubbles. The name of Michael Jackson's monkey was Bubbles.
Bubbles. Okay.
Yeah. So I think he actually
Bubbles
died.
Bubbles the monkey.
Bubbles the monkey. That's crazy. Michael Jackson was crazy. He was a good musician, though.
Well, he gave us Thriller.
Gave us Thriller, man. Thriller.
That I mean, what would we do without Thriller?
What kind of mummy? What kind of monkey was Bubbles?
Was he a monkey or was he a chimpanzee?
There you go, chimpanzee. That you came right out tonight and you clearly stated over the airways, monkey. And that is not PR, my friend. That's not PR. You cannot.
Oh, what
say,
are we in Planet of the Apes here?
Yes,
I'm going to get harassed because. I'm naming calling apes monkeys.
Someday, yeah. It could be Planet of the Apes someday. I mean, Marky Mark, if it was, you know, he wouldn't be in it if it wasn't true or going to happen. He was in that first one. I started watching that show today, Wahlberger. Have you seen this?
No, I have not.
Yeah, 7/16 of time. Anyway, it's Wahlberger is the Wahlberg family, and it starts out with Marky and Donnie, the guys from the New Kids on the Block, and all. It was pretty good, and they're in South Boston or downtown Boston, whatever, and they started Wahlburgers, and yeah, they're doing this big thing. They got their burgers, and they're serving them up, and they're trying to, you know, branch out. Of course, they got huge money behind them, you know.
Where'd they get their money, Sean?
I would assume Mark Wahlberg and the New Kids on the Block. Wasn't Donnie Wahlberg in the New Kids on the Block?
Was he? Oh, God.
I don't know. Were you one of those with the New Kids stickers on your jacket?
No, I was not. That was after my time.
Yeah, you were in college at the time, Bible school?
Yes. Sad to say, but yes,
yeah, but
I was.
Not
that I'm sad to say I was in Bible school, but I was that old
right.
at that point.
Well, they're used to, yeah, but even...
Out of Pepe.
Yeah, even the older chicks liked, you know.
Yeah, well, I wasn't a chick, so...
Right, but you probably dated chicks that like New Kid on the Block. New Kids.
You're saying I didn't date chicks? What are you trying to say here, man?
Well, I'm just saying you're talking about Bubbles, you're calling him a monkey, when clearly he's a chimpanzee. My God, man. You know what I'm saying?
Out of Pepe.
I get it. I get it now. It's just going to be pick on Nathan Knight.
Well,
I gotcha.
It could be. Every night is pick on Nathan Knight. Anyway, guys, everybody listening to us around the world, welcome back. I don't know why I just said that, but we just want to tell you guys you're welcome because you might be late bloomers. Yeah, we're talking about Bubbles.
Talking about Bubbles. But Sean, despite the fact that we've been talking about Bubbles, it's just about time for us to take that break for our friends over at 102.7 The Hog.
Sounds good, Demon Hunter. Welcome back, listeners around the world. Everybody following us at Stitcher Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, and 102.7 FM, The Hog. Now, you caught us, if you're just joining us, we were talking about Bubbles the monkey. We couldn't find out the name of Michael Jackson's monkey. And the correct name is Bubbles. So if you guys are heading to work today and somebody asks you, you know, million-dollar question.
Sitting around the water cooler going, hey, does anybody know the name of Michael Jackson's monkey?
See, and they might even have a drawing, like on 102.7. You might be able to, I've seen that on their website, 102.7 The Hulk. They had a motorcycle, Harley Davidson motorcycle. And maybe the question to win that was Michael Jackson's monkey's name. I mean, how do you know, Demon Hunter?
The real question is, you know, when that monkey was bad, did Michael Jackson have to spank him?
He gave his monkey a spanking. That's terrible,
out
man.
Of
anyway, without further ado, listeners around the world, Shadow Nation, tonight's guest.
Da-da-da.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Tonight's guest, author, lecturer Kathleen Martin stops by, a well-known alien abduction researcher, and MUFON's International Director of Field Investigator Training. Her involvement with alien abduction and that field started in 1961 after her aunt and uncle, Betty and Barney Hill, were involved in one of the world's most documented alien abduction cases. Author of the books, Captured, Science Was Wrong, The Alien Abduction Files, and much, much more, Kathleen Martin steps by. Yeah. Are we alone, Demon Hunter? We've asked that question over and over again. We'll find out tonight. Kathleen,
you're never alone, Sean. Always watching you.
You're never alone in the universe. How could you be alone? You know, I'm going to ask Kathleen that tonight. How could you be alone in the universe, you know, with 50 billion? How many galaxies do we know of, you know?
How many galaxies are there?
Yeah, how many galaxies do we know of?
You're just trying me tonight, aren't you, man?
I do not know
how many galaxies.
I don't know. There's a lot of galaxies. Anyway, guys, tonight's guest, Kathleen Martin. In the past, just a couple weeks ago, we had Dr. Kitai on, and she talked about the Phoenix Lights, of course. Then before that, we had Dr. David Jacobs on, and he talked about the alien-human hybrids, that there's something going on out there, that the aliens have been abducting us for a long time, and they're trying to clone us. Remember that, Demon Hunter?
Yes, yes, I do. Pretty soon people are going to be saying that Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is out of this world.
They're trying to clone us. That's what's going on, people. Demon Hunter!
Ghost Man.
In the news. It's always fresh. It's always exciting. And it's hot off the presses and strange and weird. And it's today's strange news. And it starts right
now.
That's it. The news segment, baby. Again, the news segment.
Again with the news segment. And hey, Sean.
What is it?
New York City Museum.
Yeah.
Explores death and all things morbid.
I like the way you just said that. Death. Explores death.
The... A new museum opening in New York City this weekend. Oh, I'm sorry, Sean. I forgot to warn people.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for In the News with Ghostman and Demon Hunter. That's weird news on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, where Sean and I pick news stories out of the newspaper, actually off the internet, built by their titles. Because we like the titles, we read the stories. Of course, we haven't had the chance to read the stories in advance, so we make a lot of mistakes. And every time we make a mistake, you take a drink. That's right, folks. It's the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter drinking game. And furthermore, if we would like to remind people that if you're listening to us on 102.7 The Hog while driving your car, don't play the G&D drinking game. And if you're planning to drive or do anything important or talk to your wife or loved ones this evening and you might say something stupid, please listen responsibly. Okay, Sean, now back to the news.
Back to the news, baby.
New York City Museum explores death and all things morbid. A new museum opening in New York City this weekend promises a fascinating journey into the dark side.
Oh!
The Morbid Academy Museum opens Saturday in Brooklyn.
Okay. This past Saturday or upcoming?
This comes to us from the Associated Press.
Okay.
So, a ribbon cutting will introduce the Spirit Photo Booth.
Oh.
And traditional morning food of the, morning, as in morning,
yeah.
Food from a cookbook titled Death Warmed Over.
Okay. You said that the it's a spirit photography booth?
I'm ready for sex.
A spirit photography booth, yes.
Oh, wow.
Both creative director Jonah Epstein, but I'll have a drink, folks. Epstein. But creative director Jonah Epstein tells us at the New York Times.
Fries.
Check it out at the New York Times, folks. That the museum's mission is serious.
What a biggie fries.
It grows out of Epstein's private collection of 2,000 books on death rituals, the human body, and more.
Oh!
Ooh. The three-story museum is in a former nightclub.
Okay.
Highlights will open... highlights at the opening exhibition, The Art of Mourning,
okay,
include a brooch made of human teeth.
Ooh.
There are also an 1850s shadow box containing a Madonna surrounded by a memorial wreath. Jeez.
Wreath.
Have a drink, folks. They're drunk already.
Drink up, guys.
Made of locks of deceased loved ones.
Oh my God.
So I guess a wreath made of dead people's hair. So that's it, Sean. That's it for that story. But the Museum of the Morbid Academy Museum opens in Brooklyn, New York this weekend.
You got to go to that, man. We got to go.
I should go to that.
You should. You're right down the street.
Go in and say, hey, I'm the demon hunter.
Yeah.
I belong in this museum. When I'm dead, prop my body in the corner.
See, they will. You know, the thing about it is, who was the original author of, I can't think of it now, that Gladiator movie, the very first one that came out, Ben-Hur.
Oh.
Who was the author of that book?
You're just, you know, you're just hitting me with all of them.
It was Henry Harrison, Governor Henry Harrison. They got the Henry Harrison house in Crawfordsville, Indiana. When I used to live down there, I went to this place, and I was walking around. It's a cool old house, and you were talking about the hair and stuff. I was walking around, and I seen this old portrait of Abraham Lincoln. You know how big of a Lincolnite fan I am. So I was looking around, and I seen
Lou Wallace.
Oh, Governor Lou Wallace. Benjamin Harrison. That's another guy from Indiana. But Lou Wallace, Lou Wallace House, I was walking around. It's a museum now. And I seen this black hair wrapped around the Lincoln photo, and they claim that Lou Wallace was good friends with Lincoln, and at his funeral, they had given those to close friends of the family. That was actually Abraham Lincoln's hair.
My goodness, Sean.
Wasn't that wild?
Hey, did I tell you what's been added to my collection of weird things here at the house?
No. What'd you add?
A piece of the wall from Edgar Allan Poe's house in Baltimore, Maryland.
No, you didn't. You got that.
I got it, man. Actually, Chrissy got it. My wife, Chrissy P., got it from the Edgar Allan Poe event last October, and it came to us now, and it is in my collection of weird things.
Now, what are they tearing down the house? I forget the story we read.
Well, no, they were fixing a piece of the wall, and when they broke the old piece out, they decided to auction off a few of the pieces, and we got one of them.
Okay, what's it look like? Describe it. It's like a brick?
It looks like a piece of plaster with horsehair plaster from your wall. That's what it looks like.
Did they wrap it up or anything like
that? They put it in a nice little box.
Okay. Well, you got to put that in a shadow box, the picture of with the picture of him next to it.
And some of his hair.
Yeah. Demon Hunter second up on the deck. Sexy schoolgirl 5K canceled after complaints.
Oh, I was planning on going to that.
No, I was. I definitely was. This comes out of our friends at Associated Press. Thanks, guys, for these. Raleigh, North Carolina on the AP. Organizers of the 5K race that encourages women runners to dress like schoolgirls say they have canceled the race in Raleigh.
Aw.
Ooh. Sexy schoolgirl race organizers told city officials on Thursday they were canceling the race in part because of the community controversy it had created. Wussies. Former Raleigh police captain Paula O'Neill was quoted as saying, shoot, no, I'm kidding, who organizes other races, told the council she questioned the message being sent. What a party pooper. Especially with the problem of rape and violence against girls in schools and on college campuses. Of course, that's very serious. The News and Observer of Raleigh reports that race organizers also cited a lack of early signups as a factor in their decision. The group's website says races are planned for Charlotte, Cincinnati, and Virginia Beach, Virginia, guys, if you want to.
You know it's tough to run in those Mary Janes anyway, Sean.
Oh, God. You see the picture.
You would know.
Oh. But that's, it's, you know, very argumentative, but wow. You know, come on, man. I mean, come on. It's, we're all adults here. Don't let the kid, you know, it's not like the kids are going to get front row seats here, you know. And they say that, and then you have topless bars all over the place. You have, you know, I don't understand it. It's kind of like with the gun control thing. You're not going to stop the wackos. I mean, by them, you could take away all the sex stimulation everywhere, and they're still going to do terrible tragedy. What was that? Sex music?
I have no idea. I clicked on the next news story and that opened up.
That's great. That's epic, actually. What's the next news story?
Wasting zombie sea star found in San Diego.
Okay.
A mysterious disease is causing the limbs of some sea star species to fall off and dissolve. Okay. According to researchers.
What's falling off and dissolving?
Sea star limbs.
Sea star limbs, okay.
A mysterious disease, have a drink, folks, is deforming and killing sea stars along the West Coast.
Okay.
Causing their limbs to dissolve has reached the waters of San Diego's coastline.
Uh-oh.
The condition is called a number of things. I'd call it painful, probably. including melting disease and sea star wasting syndrome. That sounds like somebody who comes and picks up your garbage. the animal's topical... Sorry.
Yeah.
Made myself laugh. The animal's typical... Have a drink, folks.
Okay.
The animals typically produce lesions causing their limbs to fall off and dissolve.
Oh.
The impact on the creatures has also been referred to as zombie sea stars.
Right.
Okay. Are you okay? You there?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm listening. I'm into this story, Demon Hunter.
Into this story now? You would see a trail of arms, or ooh, think you did.
Oh.
And this is going to lead to something bad. And then you keep following the arms. Sure enough, there are zombie sea stars all around.
Sounds like a bad acid trip.
Yeah, sounds. UCSB researcher diver Sarah Simpson, who is currently working in the North County.
Does she do any lip syncing?
If she does, she can read my news for me, and I'll just mouth along.
No, you didn't get it. Lip syncing, Saturday Night Live, Jessica Simpson.
Oh, I see it. I see it.
Okay.
You see arms crawling away, though, she says.
Okay.
Samson. Oh, her name's Samson.
You ruined my Simpson joke.
There are 11 species of sea stars in San Diego area.
Yeah.
And she hasn't seen 75% of them since the last October. Similar die-offs have occurred before in the 1970s and 1980s, but never at the magnitude that is occurring now. According to the U.S. Santa Cruz researchers, since April, the number of cases has increased dramatically in the areas, including the, get ready to drink, folks,
drink.
Including Carolaba.
Scotty, beat me up.
Carlsbad, sorry. La Jolla.
Oblongata.
And Point Luma.
Point Luma.
Luma.
Yeah.
I got that one right. Luma. In a matter of a day or a few days, it can go from a lesion. Blah. Another drink, folks. to talking about the whole star. Okay. Just falling apart.
Oh.
The UCSB researcher and ecologist Steve Schlocker, who is based in Carlsbad, said. Right. So it appears that we're not going to have many sea stars soon, Sean.
What are these guys, what are they going to do?
I don't know. What are they going to use to make little sea star bras for all those... little wooden hula girls.
Right. I don't... and not to mention all the tourist stuff that goes on over there. You know, when they sell it, you can buy it.
And not to mention they are a major part of the ecological system out there. So I imagine it will cause some damage. But once again, Sean, you got to think this is being caused by something that... since the reports are from the 70s and 80s and now...
Yeah.
You got to think that it's something we're probably dumping in the water somewhere.
Yeah, maybe. You always blame the humans. Maybe it's alien.
We do tend to destroy things on a pretty regular basis, Sean.
Yes. History has shown no evidence of that. Anyway, Demon Hunter, do you like iPads?
I do like iPads, Sean.
Well, out of our friends at the Huffington Post, a Fleshlight launch pad lets you have sex with your iPad. Huh?
Really?
It's called
well, that just sounds horrible.
Oh, it's terrible, isn't it? It's for us married guys. We need iFap. I better shut up. iFap lets you have sex with your iPad, Demon Hunter. Ever get the sense we're getting too attached to technology? That's the question, Demon Hunter. Are you?
I don't, Sean, because I don't have sex with my iPad.
You want to have sex with your iPad, right?
I blame this on that movie, Her.
Check this out. I might mess it up. Masturbatoria aid purveyor Fleshlight has released the launchpad and iPad case that allows a man to attach his Fleshlight directly to an iPad so that he can simulate sex with whomever or whatever is on the screen. Oh, the marvels of modern science.
Oh, no, Sean. This is great. No.
I got to go on eBay after the show. That's right. While you're not busy getting a handy from a robot or practicing oral sex on your smartphone, you can now just go ahead and... Can we say bang on the air?
Well, we just did.
Well, you can go ahead and just bang your iPad. The launch pad, which runs $24.95, Demon Hunter, that's reasonable, and does not include an actual Fleshlight. Sorry, folks, you got to buy that separately. Battery's not included.
Oh.
I'm working on these things all week, and all I get was a heavy breath. What are you doing over there with your launch pad? Anyway.
You didn't...
What are you doing with your Fleshlight?
This is why we don't have a video show between us during the show anymore, isn't it, Sean?
That's it.
You've got your iPad in your lap.
That's it. The launch pad, which runs $24.95 and does not include an actual Fleshlight, was 2.5 years in the making, according to Deadspin. We gathered a lot of data, and people are moving in masses to watching their adult content via mobile devices. So the Fleshlight launchpad is the perfect accessory for men everywhere, Demon Hunter.
It sounds like it, Sean. Yes, hey, sir. Sean, I hate to interrupt this story because I can tell you're having so much fun with it, but yes. It's that time when we have to take a break for the folks over at 102.7 The Hog, and we'll be right back.
Listeners around the world, welcome back to the Mystifying Oracle of Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Our listeners at 102.7 FM, The Hog, Stitcher Smart Radio, and Planet Paranormal. We are in the middle of the G&D Strange News segment, and we were talking about the new app for your iPad that allows you to now basically have intercourse.
Let's not even go there, Sean.
Yeah, have intercourse with your iPad. Okay. Well, it says that they gathered. Of course, we're talking about the iPad or the program for your iPad, which runs $24.95, guys. If you just joined us, and it doesn't come with a Fleshlight, in case you were wondering. Well, if you just joined us, look up what
this story is getting us kicked off the air. I can tell right now.
You can tell. Do you know what a Fleshlight is, Demon Hunter?
I can imagine.
Okay, I just wanted to know. I wonder if it's spring in it. Is it spring loaded like the Fleshlights? You have the ow. Anyway, it says that they gathered a lot of data, Demon Hunter, so this must be, you know, well looked into. And people are moving in masses to watching their adult content via mobile devices. So the
Of course they are, Sean. Of course they are.
Yeah, you know what you do with your smartphone.
They're just greasing the wheels, right?
Yeah. How did we ever get along with the big Motorolas, you know? I don't know. So the Fleshlight launchpad is the perfect accessory for men everywhere, guys. Fleshlight spokesperson Daniel Pacheco told Marshmallow, "We're happy to see that men view this as an outlet for fulfilling their sexual fantasies." And what's he supposed to say? It's his thing. He's probably making billions, dude. He'll be rich in a week.
Using it as an outlet. I like that.
You like it? Hey, gentlemen out there, please do not involve yourself with actual electrical outlets in your home. Buy the Fleshlight and the launch pad. Anyway, it says that he was so happy about it, of course. We're happy to see that men view this as an outlet of fulfilling their sexual fantasies, and men's pleasure products are getting more widespread acceptance, just like women's sex toys. Girls, you're not out of this either, so don't be laughing at us, huh? An ad for the launch pad garnered hundreds of thousands of views before being removed because its content violated YouTube's terms of service. Come on, YouTube. The NSFW ad, which can still be viewed on Fleshlight's website. Guys, check that out. Immediately following the show. I don't have the Fleshlight's website, but I'm sure it wouldn't be hard to find. The Fleshlight's website shows a long-distance couple about to engage in some sexy time via webcam. The ad is shot mostly from the perspective of the man who asks his girlfriend to put on some lingerie before he straps into the launch pad. Well, there you go, guys. New technology. They said it was coming, Demon Hunter. They said by now we could have virtual reality
relationships.
Yeah, that's one thing we won't have to beep out. By this time, we were going to have relationships with machinery at this point. So we're kind of behind the eight ball on this one.
Yeah. No sex slave droids yet, huh?
No, I'm waiting. We could actually come up with one. You know, we need to come up with an app for that. The Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show, which allows men around the world and women to listen to us while they're having relations.
Yes, because, you know, our voices are just so soothing that we will make the moment that much more enjoyable.
Enjoyable.
What people don't know is we've worked really hard to learn how to say words backwards, so that you'll never know what we're saying, but we're actually telling you to download all of our shows.
Yes.
And you'll never know when it's going to happen. Murph, not you could do no matter.
What's that, Nerfer? What? Now I need my Fleshlight.
Buy Fleshlight, Murph Arkaner.
Yeah. Fleshlight, if you want to donate money to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Anyway, Demon Hunter, do you have next door? Do you want me to go right into mine?
Why don't you go right into yours, Sean?
You sure you want me to?
I really would like you to. I'm hoping that it's not about a Fleshlight.
Well, it's kind of close. Kayaker says he was attacked by a beaver. Oh, Demon Hunter. These stories they send us. We don't pick them, folks. We get sent to us. They hit our desk, and we have to. Have you ever seen a beaver, for being from the country? I've never seen
one. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I hate to tell this story because
it's a beaver story.
it does not make me feel good to have to say this, but I once, and it was an accident, folks.
Yes. I was in a bar.
I once killed a 50-pound beaver.
Oh, no. What kind of dress was she wearing?
it was actually crossing the road.
Oh, it was like a bad joke.
I came around a turn, and it was right there in the middle of the road, and I ran over it. And I was driving a little 1990s Pontiac Le Mans, and it ripped the underside of my car apart.
Oh, my God.
But I got out, and the thing had back feet the size of my hands. You had to think how old this guy was, how many little beavers he'd probably spawned out there. And I just, with a 1990 yes. Pontiac Le Mans, I ended it all.
Those cars are known for death, you know? It's a big car.
Well, they were still low to the ground. Nothing could escape.
It was kind of low to the ground. Kayaker says he was attacked, Demon Hunter, by a beaver. This comes out of the Huffington Post. Thanks, guys. All Michael Cavanaugh wanted to do, Demon Hunter, Shadow Nation, was spend a nice day kayaking on a creek in upstate New York. But his day was ruined when an angry beaver attacked him. Probably some beaver from the family where Demon Hunter mowed him over with his high-powered hot rod. Anyway, but his day was ruined when an angry beaver attacked him and knocked him into the water, Demon Hunter. Wow. I see like Sharknado coming out.
He saw his kayak and said, that'll make a perfect dam.
Hey, this will be the next one on Sci-Fi. Sharknado, Beavernado.
Beavernado.
Beavernado. Hey!
Damn the beavers. Beavernado.
Guys, we're willing to sell that title, but you have to pay us first. You heard it here first on the Misfiring Oracle. Kavanaugh was kayaking on the, get ready to drink, guys, Arundock Creek in Monroe County on June 10th. When the incident happened, according to the witness, Nate Reynolds, who runs the Bay Creek Paddling Center. I heard my name called out from the shop, and I ran out the door to see a guy getting pulled into the water. That's what Reynolds told WHAM-TV. That's WHAM-TV. It was like watching a horror film. Although Kavanaugh was able to get to his feet and approach the dock, the beaver did not let go, Demon Hunter. Even when Reynolds hit the creature with a paddle several times, the paddle broke and the beaver let go. Reynolds told the station he kind of disappeared for a few seconds, but came back up, so I hit him again. It's like the beaver from Caddyshack. You know what I mean?
I think that was a gopher, Sean.
Yeah, oh, that was a gopher. Where's Bill Murray at when you need him? Great googly moogly. I heard my name, huh?
He won't do our show.
He won't. Yeah, we tried. Although Kavanaugh was able to get to his feet and approach the duck, the beaver did not let go. Even when Reynolds hit the creature with a paddle several times, the paddle broke, but the beaver let go. Reynolds told the station he kind of disappeared for a few seconds, but he came back for more. Reynolds eventually killed the angry beaver. You're not alone, Demon Hunter. He killed the angry beaver, and the paddling center was closed until animal control found its carcass to test it for rabies. Tests have not come back yet, but the center has since reopened. It says beaver attacks are rare, Demon Hunter, so you're okay. You can go canoeing, guys. Just look out.
Just be careful if you're driving a Pontiac Le Mans. They will come after you.
And everybody knows that an angry beaver is dangerous. It's angry, you might
say.
Any
guy who's ever been married or...
and has, you know, owned a pet beaver.
Yes.
Yes, you got to cover that
stuff.
Knows
how dangerous they can be.
Yeah. If the beaver's not happy, nobody's happy. Anyway.
Hey, Sean, you know how we're always talking about how cryptozoology so often turns out to be zoology?
Okay.
Explanations come around. Well, a mysterious creature was seen roaming around the Bronx, New York. We're back in the Bronx. Look at that.
A strange creature?
Yes. Turns out it's really, really cute.
Oh, when is there not a strange creature wandering around the Bronx?
Not since I moved out.
Oh, well.
Anyway, this comes from AP News, and it's coming to us from New York. A mysterious long-haired critter has been sighted in the streets of Bronx.
The neighborhood
for several months, and now it has a name. It's a member of the weasel family called a fisher or fisher cat.
Cujo.
Zoologist Ronald Keyes of North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences tells WCBS-TV that the short-legged, furry-tailed creature may have come down from the river. New Yorkers should be thrilled because it turns out the fisher preys on rats and squirrels, but is not a threat to humans. Fishers were found in Manhattan when the island was first settled. I'd like to remind you folks that was by the Dutch. But the fur trade pushed them north and into the Adirondacks.
Okay.
Fisher trapping has been banned since the 1930s.
Yeah.
He says today that the fisher population is booming in the Northeast once again, and trapping seasons have been reinitiated.
It's booming, Demon Hunter.
Booming. They are a cute little thing. They look like a sea otter, but on land.
A sea otter on... I can't believe it survived in the Bronx between the gunshots and the traffic.
Well, when I was living in the Bronx, Sean, we had the whole issue with coyotes in the middle of the Bronx.
I wonder if the mob put a hit out on it, you know? Because, you know, you always see in those old gangsters...
The Pope.
You ever see in those old gangster movies where they go to the gangster and they say, you know, the old ladies always go, "We have a problem in the neighborhood." And they go to Don Corleone or the Godfather. He says, "I'll take care of it." Like, you know, from kids, you know, rapping on the corner or whatever. And the old Italian ladies say that's too loud. And they then sleep with the fishes.
The weasel is sleeping with the fishes.
That's what I think. I think the weasel's gone. I think that's a cover-up. Anyway, Demon Hunter, this is the last one on deck for me. Pet Cemeteries, because I love the Stephen King novel and show Pet Cemetery. Pet Cemeteries may bury owners with animals in New York.
I remember seeing this story, and you beat me to it. But I you know what? This is more fun, because I get to hear you read it now.
Yes, you do. Remember the name of the dead guy that got the first dead guy in the movie Pet Cemetery, the first one?
I haven't got a clue.
Pascal. Yeah. Shadow Nation. We covered that in one of our earlier shows. Apparently, your memory is shot. Pet cemeteries may bury owners with animals in New York. We're covering a lot of the Big Apple today. This comes out of our friends at the Huffington Post. Pet cemeteries in New York State, Demon Hunter, could soon be getting a human touch thanks to a new regulation that makes it legal for pet owners to be buried with their deceased animals. Huh? So you could have a marmot. You and your marmot could rest in pieces.
Yeah. What, that's going to be a real nice, cash cow.
Nice marmot, man. Yeah, cash. Yeah. Starting in August, pet graveyards will be allowed to accept the remains of humans as long as they don't advertise that option. MyFoxNewYork.com reports. Passing the regulation was a pet project of attorney Taylor York, who battled the state for 3 years to allow her uncle, a former NYPD officer, to spend the afterlife with his three Maltese pups, according to the New York Daily News. Huh?
Aw.
So what, they put them in the box with you? Like,
well, you know, the funny thing is, Sean, when I used to work at the pet cemetery.
Yeah.
Anybody who's new to the Ghost Man Demon Hunter show, I've had every job imaginable.
Yeah, just asking.
When I worked at the pet cemetery, we had to dig graves just like they dig for people. The only difference was we didn't have to put in vaults.
How was it?
For human graves. And you know, so now I'm sure they just have to put a vault in the ground. They got licensed for human burial. They just have to put a vault in the ground. And you can be buried next to Cujo.
Whatever. Pets. Some pets get better burials than humans. It's out of control. Anyway, passing the regulation was a pet project of attorney Taylor York. We already read that section. But the pet cemeteries won't make a killing from the new rule. The regulation states that pet cemeteries can only bury, as we say it down south, human ashes as long as they don't charge a fee for it, Demon Hunter, and don't advertise human burial services, the Associated Press reports.
I see, I see. So I imagine these pet cemeteries will find a way around this. They will probably offer you a burial spot that has ash-containing area adjacent to it, and that particular spot will cost more.
Well, anybody I've ever known in the United States or anywhere in the world, no ticky-ticky, no laundry. So if they can't charge, baby, for this, it ain't happening, Captain.
You know I'm telling you, they'll just have different spots of the cemeteries, and if you want to spend eternity with Fluffy, you will have to be buried in the part of the cemetery that costs 10 times as much, I'm sure.
10 times as much. Demon Hunter, the hour 7:51 is up on us. We're going to have to take a break here in a minute.
Yep, we have time, though, Sean. We have... Because we're going by the clock, we still have about 3.5 minutes if you'd like to go into tonight's legend.
You want to do tonight's legend? 3.5 minutes, here we go. Guys, Legend X series, it's an original series by Demon Hunter and myself. That means we came up with it, where each week we scour the universe, or at least planet Earth, and we try to find you the latest in legends from monster legends, Sasquatch, Lizardmen, Frogmen, and each week we try to bring them to you to let you know, for you can decide for yourself if it's real or phony. This week's legend is...
The Ghosts, Banshees, Hellhounds of the Consolation Church of Red Level, Alabama.
Now, this one's a cool one. We've done these, Demon.
I have wanted to go to Red Level, Alabama and see the Consolation Church for a long time now, Sean. You know that.
Yeah, I have. You have?
It's the church is no longer in use, of course. Maybe that's because of the Banshee.
Yeah, that's a bad...
If you sit outside the gates, you can hear the Confederate soldiers marching down the road.
Yeah, yeah.
There is supposedly an outhouse that if you go inside, the door slams behind you and locks you in.
Yeah.
I really don't want to be locked in an outhouse.
Why would you go in there?
And then you can only get out if somebody opens the door from the outside for you. Well, I've had a few apartment doors like that, too. A lot of car doors.
There. Maybe that's where the Banshee comes from.
Yes.
Or where she's been heard screaming.
I've heard you screaming for that.
Who's number two work for? Austin Powers joke. Remember that?
Been a lot of tales of possession that take place on it, on the ground. But what gets me the most are the tales of the hellhounds, Sean.
Yeah, well, we've heard them before.
We've heard the cry of the hellhounds when we were out in New Mexico.
Yeah.
Maybe it was coyotes, but I think it was
inconceivable.
And supposedly there is a ghost of a child who will go skipping down the road with a ball, and if your car goes past her,
yeah,
the car will just stop where it is.
No way.
Inconceivable.
So I've actually looked in to this area, Sean, because it's one of those legends I wanted you and I to go and check out.
Right.
There's also a ghost truck, a 1960s Ford black truck that is reported as being seen driving down crazy down the road, wrecking at the end, but then there's no survivors, nobody around the area after it wrecks, no truck, nothing. So, Sean, this particular site, I have to warn people, it's very much like the Union Cemetery or, a lot of those sites that are privately owned now. You cannot get in. In fact, there have been so many reports of pagan groups, and I use that word very generally because I know a lot of good pagan groups, but pagan groups and cult groups going in there to perform ceremonies.
Yeah.
And so the owners of the property will no longer allow anyone on the property for ghost investigation or pretty much anything else.
Demon Hunter, it's about time to take that break, my friend.
I do. I know, Sean, and I hate to leave folks on this legend because I'd love to talk about it more. I do love the Constellation Church of Red Level, Alabama so much. But, Sean, for the folks out there at 102.7 The Hog, do you want to go to break and go right into our music and come back with our guest?
Yeah, absolutely. We can go to break, guys. I guess tonight's band, MC Kula, guys, the name of the song, Blazing Days. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Patrick Doyle, Ghost Mine, and you are listening to the Ghost Man and Bee Runner Show.
Oh, it's taking a while.
Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only mystifying oracle of radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Tonight's guest, author, lecturer, Kathleen Martin, a well-known alien abduction researcher and MUFON's International Director of Field Investigator Training. Her involvement with alien abduction field, the field, started in 1961 after her aunt and uncle, Betty and Barney Hill, were involved in one of the world's most documented alien abduction cases. Author of the books Captured, Science Was Wrong, The Alien Abduction Files, and so much more. Please help us welcome to studio Kathleen Martin. How are you doing tonight, Kathleen?
Hi, I'm fine. Great to be with you.
Thanks so much for coming on. And you're such an interesting person. I feel like I live with you because I've been watching you all week. You're all over YouTube, man. I've been researching it and listening to the stories. And, you know, we've had so many amazing people on the show, and we get to add you to the cabinet with those type of people because you've done so much. And the story of your aunt and uncle and everything you've done, I was thinking of where to start. And I guess I want to start when you were growing up, your first alien experience and how you got involved in all this.
I was 10 years old. My family had no interest in UFOs, but my aunt and uncle were returning home from vacation in driving through the White Mountains of New Hampshire, and they had a close encounter with a UFO, and he saw non-human standing on board that craft looking down at him.
Oh, wow.
And when they arrived home, Betty called my mother, who was sister. And at some point, I arrived home from school and overheard the conversation. So, you know, that was my first introduction to flying saucers, UFOs, and everything related.
That's a heck of a start, Kathleen. You were like, Mom.
It sure was.
You were like, Mom, I'm home. And she goes, guess what, baby? My goodness. Aunt and Uncle Hill. So, you know, it's so intriguing because we've never had an actual abductee on the show. We've had plenty of people that have spoke to him, hypnosis, regression therapy, things of that nature. Now, everybody knows you have your bachelor's degree. You've been in the field of regression therapy. Are you certified in that?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you're a regression therapist, and you've done so much, and you've written so much. Now, I know, because I in your book Captured, you explain you being abducted. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, As I said, Betty and Barney had a close encounter with the UFO. It was hovering only 100 feet away from me. He feared that he was going to be captured, so broke away and ran back to the car where Betty was waiting, looking out for him. And as he did, the craft started hovering right over the top of the car. He went speeding down the highway and told Betty to roll down the window and look up to see if the craft was still above the car. She looked up, and expecting to see lights, all she saw was blackness. Even though it was a bright night, the waxless moon was almost three-quarters full, and so she rolled the window back up. As she did that, she heard a series of buzzing sounds striking the trunk of the car, and the car started to vibrate, and a tingling sensation passed through Betty's and Barney's bodies. And they forgot what had happened. It was as if a moment had passed, and they found themselves 35 miles from the road.
Oh my
and
gosh.
They were restored by the second series of buzzing sounds. And then they started talking again. They only remembered seeing a fire. They knew that it was moving, but they were not moving. They remembered a roadblock somewhere along the way. They didn't know where or when that occurred. They drove on to their home in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, arriving 2 hours later than anticipated, and there was evidence that something had happened to them. Betty's dress, that had been in fine condition when she put it on that day, was torn in several locations. There was a 2-inch tear in the stitching at the top of her zipper, and the thick zipper fabric was torn for an inch on that fabric along the zipper. No way that could have happened accidentally. It was very perplexing. The tops of Barney's best dress shoes were so deep scraped that he had to buy new shoes. Their watches had stopped working and never ran again. The binocular strap was broken. There were shiny spots on the trunk of their vehicle, and when she put a compass over those spots, the needle would spin and spin, indicating that there was a magnetic field, and we've seen that in other abduction cases as well. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of evidence here. It's been examined in laboratories, always finding anomalous results. She and Barney ended up undergoing hypnosis a couple of years later with a renowned psychiatrist, Dr. Benjamin Simon from Boston, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
She and Barney saw Dr. Simon separately for a period of 6 months, and under hypnosis, they relived the same experience from their own perspective of an alien abduction, of being taken on board a craft, given very strange physical examinations, mostly to determine the differences between human beings and these very strange gray creatures that had abducted them. They were then released after Betty was shown a star map and some alien script and returned home, went along their way, and almost completely forgot what had happened in that time period for that 2 hours. They remembered everything else.
Oh, wow. What an amazing, I mean, just amazing. But, you know, Kathleen, and I apologize because I said abducted. You describe in the book Captured your own encounter with these. I said you describe your abduction. But, you know, it's funny because we had Dr. David Jacobson, and I know you know him. You know everybody that's in the UFO field.
I know him.
Oh, yeah. And Travis Walton and all these people. Stan Freeman, good friend of the show, has been on many times, a good friend of yours. And, I know that you've seen these things, and it's in your family, because Dr. David Jacobs, one of the funny things he told me and Nathan and I, is that...
I didn't find it funny.
No, it's not funny, but it's very intriguing, because I was asking him, how do we not know that we've been abducted? Because who doesn't have moments of time that you're like, oh my God, what did I just do? Have you ever been doing something, and you forget, and it's like you lost a second or two, or you zone out. And I was asking Dr. David Jacobs, and he said, if it's never happened in your family, it'll never happen to you. And I find that intriguing because you've had it happen in your past. Can you explain what happened in the past, and what's your thoughts on what Dr. Jacobs said?
I really believe, and my research bears that out, that they do follow family genetic lines.
Mm-hmm.
And time after time, I have investigated abduction cases. I've spoken with hundreds of experiencers one-on-one. And there is definitely a trend there that if your parent was taken, you will be taken, and your children will be taken as well.
Wow.
So they're definitely interested in human genetics and doing a longitudinal study on families.
I don't know.
In terms of... Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Kathleen. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was saying, in terms of my own family, I have been talking about and actually encaptured. I wrote about a close encounter that I had on Country Pond in Newton, New Hampshire, with my aunt, my grandmother, a family friend, my mother, and my brother. And the UFO just came down, and we saw it go through a number of maneuvers, a falling leaf pattern, and coming in close enough so that we could see the windows in it, and then moving away. And at one point, a light sort of came out slowly toward my mother. It was almost as if it was almost a hollow beam with a surface around the exterior of it. It hit her and frightened her terribly, and we decided it was time to leave the area. I had another close sighting.
Hey, Sean.
Okay. Yeah, we are back. For our listeners on Stitcher, Smart Radio, 102.7 FM, The Hog, and Planet Paranormal, we do apologize. I think we had a little problem, but we are back on with author, researcher, lecturer, Kathleen Martin. Kathleen, sorry about that.
Not a problem.
Technical difficulties. Maybe it was the aliens. You don't know what's going on here.
Hey, this isn't in any of the questions that I was planning on asking, but, you know, you always get those people out there who say that the government doesn't want us to know about aliens. Have you ever had any issue with that?
I have not had too many problems. The only problem that I've had is that Denise Stoner and I wrote the book, The Alien Abduction Files. Mm-hmm. And it was published more recently than Captured. And we did a lot of radio shows to promote the book after it was released. And we started having some difficulties with interference during these shows. And it was so often that it seemed to be a pattern rather than a coincidence or just a problem that might occur due to a thunderstorm or something like that.
Yeah.
What we found out is it was probably because Denise was talking about her military background and her security clearance.
Oh.
And I said to her one day, well, why don't you stop telling that about your background? Maybe you're embarrassing the government. So she tried that, and we had more success after that. So, you know, that was a good thing.
Well, now I'm wondering what we did to tick off the government this time, Sean.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hey, you bring up Miss Denise Stoner. How did you meet her with the Alien Abduction Files? And what about her and her husband? They had the Missing Time event in Colorado.
Yes. Well, I met her when I moved to Florida 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She was the chief investigator for the Mutual UFO Network in Florida at the time, and she was a state section director and holding meetings for the general and MUFON members. So I decided to attend her meetings, and I was frankly impressed with Denise at her professionalism, her level of intelligence. She was talking about her alien abductions at that time, but over time she told me that she was an experiencer and that she and her husband, way back in 1982, were traveling through South Park Valley in Colorado with their 14-year-old daughter. This was a summer night. It was before 7 o'clock, so the sun was shining when this two UFOs actually sort of just came in very, very rapidly on their vehicle. They could feel the car lift up, and the next thing they knew, they found themselves 40 miles away at the other end of the valley on a path. It was now 11 o'clock at night, and it had been 7 in what seemed like a moment before. And they had family waiting for them at the other end. They were going to their summer camp,
yeah.
And her parents were very, very upset. I was able to interview her mother, who is still alive, and she told me her part of the story, her memories of this. I hypnotized Ed and Denise separately. And they told essentially the same story from their own perspective. Denise is, she believes now, a lifelong experiencer. She believes that she was a child when she was taken for the first time, and her mother finally fessed up and said that she felt that she had been taken too, because when Denise was a little girl, she and her husband were in their bedroom at night, and they saw a very large, bright light coming toward their window.
Mm.
And they were watching it, fearing that it was going to hit the house. And the next thing they knew, they were waking up. And, you certainly don't suddenly fall asleep if you're fearing that something might hit your house and it's an aerial vehicle.
Right.
So Denise has had many, many experiences with the Greys and with Android types, and it is all in the alien abduction file.
Oh, now, wow. there's also, you were telling us earlier about the abduction files and how you met Denise and the issues with your aunt. And there was Jenny?
Yes, Jenny Henderson.
Jenny Henderson. And she had experienced the missing time in both her bedroom and in a car while driving.
Yes.
And
that is correct.
With those two, do you find that people have these experiences in multiple locations, or if it's usually only outside or inside, can this randomly happen anytime? What happened with Jenny?
This generally happens within multiple locations, according to my research. And I did a study, Denise and I did a research study in 2012 that gave us this information. But in more than 50% of the cases, the individuals are taken from an external environment and from their own homes. Oftentimes it begins by them being taken from their car while they're driving, such as what happened in Jenny Henderson's case. But they might also, if it runs in their family, have been taken from their homes since they were young children. And then later on, so in Denise's case, taken while she was driving. Experiencers find that regardless of where they are, the ETs are able to find them. And it's most likely due to the implants that are put into their bodies. They're tracking devices, and they're able to find them. I've had people tell me they live in the United States, they're on vacation in Europe, and they've had an experience. So
follows them.
Now
you
cannot
run and you cannot hide.
You've mentioned the implants. I've always wanted to ask somebody who could answer this question for me because, you know, my experience with UFOs, I did see an unidentified flying object once in my life. Mm-hmm. I can't say what it was, so it was unidentified and it was definitely flying. But it, you know, my knowledge of alien abductions and, you know, implants especially the information I get from implants or have about implants basically came from X-Files. So I wanted to ask somebody who knew something actually about them. Are these implants that actually have been found in people's bodies? How do they, or when you remove them, do people get sick from removing them? What is the truth behind the implants?
Well, I have to tell you that the late Dr. Roger Lear was the expert on implants. He removed implants, and a scientist named Steve Colburn worked with him. They sent these implants to laboratories. They found that they had unique properties. There was a biological substance coating them so that the body would not reject them, and there were attachments on each end of the implant that would attach to nerve endings. And when doctors attempted to remove them, they sort of had a mind of their own and would actually travel, say it was in the hand, they would travel up the arm in order to try not to be taken. Go after it pretty vigorously. He's found them in hands and in feet. And they also, some of them, emit radio microwave frequency in deep space. They are made out of a crystalline structure, nanotechnology, that we are not yet capable of developing. So pretty interesting findings coming from him.
Now, if these contain nanotechnology and nanites can be, you know, as small as blood cells themselves, once it's implanted in a person's body, is it possible that they release a small number of nanites into the body, which continue tracking the person even if it's removed?
I suppose anything is possible.
It's just one of those things that I've always wondered about implants.
I have to tell you that some people who've had them removed have said that they had a reprieve for several months or even up to over a year before they were taken again. So sometimes it takes a while to find these people after the implant is removed.
Yeah.
And the implants seem to be for a number of purposes, for tracking, for communication, and perhaps to monitor the health of the human body as well.
Now, Kathleen, I wanted to get your opinion. Now, I listened to the case files, the recordings of both your aunt and uncle, and Betty Hill, your aunt, it struck me, I mean, she was clearly going through pain when she was in regression therapy. She could remember the needle going into her navel. It was very painful, but at the same time, she said that it was speaking to her, saying, you know, the pain's going to be over and da-da-da-da-da. Now, Dr. Jacobs and Dr. Kitai that came on, they differed in their opinions on alien abduction and how the aliens, their intentions, I guess. Dr. Jacobs says, you know, we should be very fearful because he believes that they're building this alien-human hybrid that's going to make us inferior, that basically one world type thing, they're coming after us. And Dr. Kitai basically just says there is no evidence, at least with the Phoenix Lights, that nobody was abducted and there was nothing, you know, bad going on. Nobody was hurt. What's your opinion on that? After hearing what your aunt went through, because it kind of threw me off, because at first she was talking about these, you know, terrible experiments with the needle and everything. Of course, that'd be scary for anybody. It doesn't necessarily mean the aliens have bad intentions, but he gave her something. The lead alien gave her something, then it was taken away. Are these beings kind? Are they here to help us? What's going on? What's your opinion?
Well, I have to tell you that they were kind to my aunt and uncle. They were apologetic for frightening them. And even though they did remove ova and they removed semen that could have been the start of the hybrid projects, they treated them well. Now, some people are extremely terrified by what happens. And from my personal experience in working with many, many experiences, it seems that it is a matter of one's subjective perspective on all of this. If people are consciously recalling only the part of being procured, of finding that they're being captured by these non-human entities, then they're terrified. And if they don't remember what happened on the craft, then read or scary stories, or they scary shows on television about horrible things that happen to experiencers, they might be even more terrified.
Right.
But in the end, most people who undergo hypnosis or have with me and many of my colleagues find that the experience on board was not that bad.
Yeah.
And I ask experiencers, if you had the opportunity to have this stop today, would you want it to stop? And 90 out of 100 will say no, they don't want to stop.
Makes
so, I mean, it can't be that terrible if they're asking for it to continue to occur.
Well, I guess I know it makes things a lot more interesting. And, of course, you would have to be crazy to think we're alone in the universe. The question is, have we been visited? Are they here amongst us? And what's going on? I guess I'm looking for the answer, E.T. or Alien from the movie. What are we going to be dealing with here? And I know with your aunt, she said, like you said, that they were nicer and they were good to them. But these weren't gray aliens. You know, you guys, listeners around the world. Yeah, listeners around the world, you hear gray aliens. She said these look more human-like. If these different types of beings, different cultures are visiting us, don't you think there might be some kind of galactic-type war here on Earth at some time?
A galactic war on Earth?
Well, not a galactic, but like a alien warfare. It seems like
they're worried about us going out there. We're developing the technology that we could go out there if looked down the people of this earth during the 20th century, they'll see that we've killed 200 million of our own kind in major and minor wars.
Right.
And, you know, if I were an ET and I were looking down, I'd be pretty frightened about those people coming out into my neighborhood and want to be doing something about them and perhaps doing some experiments on family lines, genetic experiments, to see if there was any way to bring out some of this primitive like behavior that is causing so many problems on Earth.
Well, yeah, I talked with Stanton the last time he came on the show, and we discussed the probability that we're not being visited by aliens, we're being quarantined.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he likes to say.
Well, I guess I got one more question too, Kathleen, after this comment I want to make. But I guess what I'm getting at is with anything, different cultures, different belief systems for different types of people all around the world. So you would think in the galaxies and out there, the different planets, there's different types, grays, reptilians, all these things that people have said exist. So you would think that they would have different beliefs and different structures and different intentions. You know, and I think the government with these scary shows, I think they are interjecting these things to prepare us to not trust. You know, of course, ET is an exception, stuff like that. But, you know, maybe they are preparing us. These things come down here. We don't know what we're dealing with. Don't trust them. Now, it's probably untrue, and the government just doesn't want you to follow the aliens and to overthrow the, you know, government of the Earth. But, you know, that's what I guess I'm worried about. It's this race for each different type of alien to collect the most, you know, humans and genetic codes or whatever they're collecting. And we're kind of in the middle of that, you know. Do you think there's nothing to fear whatsoever?
That's a really difficult question. I can't say that we shouldn't hear anything altogether. We do know that there are reports of negative behaviors by reptilian races.
Right.
Some reptilians. There are also positive reports about some reptilians. So regardless of what race it is or what species of hominid it is that is here, some are good, some are benevolent, some are not.
Right.
It's the same with people on Earth. You know, we have Mother Teresa and we have Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
It's probably the same out there.
You know, my personal theory on the whole thing is that they're not coming down here to breed a new race of alien-human hybrids or to discover anything about us. I think that their form of currency is made in DNA, and they're just looking for specific lines of DNA, and they will take that DNA, and the way we go out and mine gold, they're not experimenting on us, they're mining us. So it's that's my personal theory on it.
That's an interesting theory. I've never heard that one.
My kind of alien's Paul. Have you ever seen the movie Paul, Kathleen? It's kind of, that's my kind of alien. I'd like to buy him a beer and talk to him. That's a good movie if you haven't seen it, I suggest.
But Kathleen, we want people to know where they can find your book. It's the Alien Abduction Files. Where can they find that? And your other books?
You can purchase from me. It's available on my website at Kathleen with a K, KathleenMarden, MARDEN.com. If you'd like an autographed copy, it's also available on Amazon, at Barnes & Noble. You can buy it in any bookstore, and you can also purchase it as an electronic copy in Kindle or an ebook.
And,
so available in many formats.
And you'll be traveling this year doing presentations. Where will people be able to see you?
Oh, yes, I will. I'm going to be in Roswell over the 4th of July, Roswell, New Mexico, to do several presentations. And then from there, I'm going to be at MUFON's International Symposium in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. From there, I'll be going to Portland in September to the Experiencers Speak Conference. It's a conference specifically devoted to ET contact, and then in October to the New England UFO Conference in Leominster, Massachusetts. For details and information, clickable links, To find out more, you can go to my website, again, Kathleen De Marden, and just click on the links there and get all the information. There are also some free articles on my website that you might be interested in reading as well.
Okay, Kathleen. Well, I tell you what, I stay on the line real quick. I know we ran out of time, and I got one more question I have to ask you. Could you stay on for just a second?
Okay.
All right, Demon Hunter, it's time to pay the bills.
We got to pay the bills, Sean.
We do got to pay the bills. 102.7 FM, The Hog, Stitcher Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Creative Commons, freemusicarchives.org, and Midnight Syndicate. Thanks for the tunes. Hey, from the haunted back roads of America, this has been another G&D exclusive interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't, Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Night, guys.